Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today is June 16, 2018, and we're going to be here live for the next 2 hours, and we've got an action-packed show, lots of information, especially in the attorney segment. Got about three or four different segments within that segment, so it's a lot of good information. Get your pens and paper ready to take some notes. But first, like I say every week, I start my day with a cup of fresh Joe from CEFCO Hilltop here in Cameron. Be sure to go in there and get your smokes, your drinks, your food, whatever it takes to get your day going. And they've got a special going on. They got a king-size Snickers bar. Now, you know that commercial that says Snickers is so satisfying? For a dollar, you can get a king-size Snicker bar. So that's pretty darn good. So go to the CEFCO Hilltop here in Cameron. Make sure to get all your goodies and tell all the girls you said hi and you heard it on the radio. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are simulcasting on KMIL, the station right here, 105.1 FM, and KRXT out of Rockdale, 98.5 FM. Or you can go to the website, aaronsgunshop.com, and we should be broadcasting live off the radio page, so you can check that out. If not, if you're having problems listening to it via the radio, you can always go to the websites of KRXT or KMIL and tap it that way. Let me give you an idea of what's coming up on today's show. Today's show highlights: true stories of self-defense from the American Rifleman's The Armed Citizens column, true stories that can give us valuable information as to what to do and what not to do in situations like these. And I've also got a couple of homegrown stories as well. So that'll be interesting. It hits home there. This week, with Super Attorney Rick Dodd, we'll be going over a few things. We're going to be going over and adding to the common law marriages from last week. There's so much to it, you could do another program on it. But Rick wants to add some certain key elements to that, so we're going to do that. I also had a discussion with somebody concerning militias, legal aspects, common thoughts, opinions. So we're going to touch on that. And then also, I had a friend of mine call me about a situation concerning penal codes 4603-035, city parks. I want to talk about that. If you're licensed to carry, it's an interesting thing you want to listen to. We're going to be all over the map. So, you know, lock yourselves in your seats there, strap yourselves down, and get ready for the show. But before the end of the first hour, tactical snacking with the delicious Janae Goodman, and she's going to be going over hiker-friendly snacks and tips. Now, I asked her if we could next week go over biker tips and the importance of having your daily dose of iron, you know, like your rifles and pistols and shotguns, that kind of iron. But I'm only kidding about that. Now, at 11 o'clock, the voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon. All right, Trey, listen up. The voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon, right? The gleaner of guidance. The neutralizer of negativity. The opposer of oppression. How's that? An all-around good guy. The giver of guidance? He's gleaning guidance, you know? And I guess he can give guidance, too. So what? You pick your G's. All-around good guy, Randy Dixon. He's the voice of law enforcement. This week's product spotlight, sponsored by ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer, is the Taurus G2C 9mm. Now, this is a nice handgun for an economical price. So go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, and you get to see a picture of me holding it there. It's got the price tag, the whole works. And then you can call ANC at 254-983-4417 to buy yours. And now, I've got a bunch of backstories that I want to get to as well, so I don't have a special guest today. We're going to be going over some articles that I read that were interesting, a couple WTF moments, and those are always interesting. And then before the end of the show, before we close up the show, we'll have Master Cindy Key, owner of the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. She'll be in to demonstrate more ways on how to defend yourself while using me as practice target. You people seem to enjoy that, so we don't want to let you down. All right, so with that, let's get started with the show, and we're going to start it with true stories coming out of the American Rifleman's Armed Citizens column. And this one came out of the 1962 edition. Story number one reads as follows. After being awakened by the sound of shattering glass at 5 a.m., William Parrish, a New York City barber with quarters to the rear of his shop, picked up his .22 rifle and went into the shop to investigate. There he surprised an intruder who tried to escape through the broken window. Listen to this, Trey. When Parrish commanded to stop, When Parrish's command to stop went unheeded, he shot the would-be burglar to death. That's some rough terminology back in 1962, don't you think? Here's my commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a refresher course here. What's the first thing we do when we hear a sound of breaking glass in the middle of the night? We get our firearm first, right? We don't go and check it out, then get our weapon. We get the weapon first, okay? So he did his job well there. Story number two. Don Caparelli, owner of a radio and television service shop in Greensville, South Carolina, surprised two yeggs trying to break into the shop's back door and at the point of a .22 rifle, marched the pair off to jail. I thought this was funny. This story was funny to me because I picture an old sitcom, something like a Andy Griffith show where Barney Fife walks in, the two yeggs are there, and he walks those two yeggs to jail with their hands over their heads, their shoulders slumped down, and they get to the jail, and they just walk into the cell block. So that kind of reminded me of that. You just don't hear about things happening like that in real life nowadays, so I thought it was pretty cool. Story number three. George Niepel. George Niepel was upstairs. He was in the upstairs office of his supermarket in Illinois suburbs when an employee told him two men were attempting to hold up the store. Niepel ran down the stairs and felled one of the bandits with one shot from his .32 revolver. The other escaped. My commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, this store owner was brave, bold, and accurate. Once again, a bad guy stopped with a mouse gun. Just saying. Any caliber can kill, but obviously shot placement is paramount. Story number four. Seemingly complying with the demands of two holdup men to empty his cash register, Saul Lipman, operator of a Notion store in Camden, New Jersey, came up with a .22 pistol instead. He fired one shot over the heads of the pair as they fled empty-handed. My commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, it's your host's opinion that shooting the ceiling is not the best target. Shooting at the threat, not the ceiling. Fortunately, in this scenario, shooting at the ceiling worked out. Okay. Now, I've got a homegrown story here. I saw this article in the Telegram. Man killed in Temple gunfire exchanged. Man killed in Temple gunfire exchange and is ID'd. Timothy Wayne Owen, 49, was the man shot and killed early Saturday morning during a reported gunfire exchange at the Glen Apartments with Temple police officers. Temple police officers went at about 3:38 a.m. Saturday to a disturbance in progress at one of the apartments and were fired on as they approached the apartment. They returned fire, fatally striking the shooter. Williamson said her mother had just gotten home. Listen up, ladies. Williamson said her mother had just gotten home from work and went to change clothes before locking the apartment door. 5 minutes after she arrived home, Owen walked in with a mask on and had a gun. He demanded money. Now, here's my commentary on that one. Ladies and gentlemen, do I have to say it in this day and age? I mean, I'm always going to. Lock your door. All right? As soon as you get home, you got to lock your door. Because you never know. Like a story like this, anybody can walk into your place, your house, your apartment. Which brings me to another story. I'm not going to say it now. I'll talk about it later. But there was an incident where somebody walked in to a woman's home and ended up raping her, but I'll get into that story later. So you've got to secure yourself, be vigilant no matter what you do and no matter what time it is, all right? So those are stories of real life. Hopefully we can learn something off of those. Now, as always, ladies and gentlemen, I have an opinion. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. You know, sometimes I get grief, sometimes I get praise. Well, this one here is titled Soldiers versus Warriors. Ladies and gentlemen, soldiers and warriors both deserve honor and praise. However, as I meditate upon my past and use my life experiences to pen this opinion piece, I realize, but really always have known, that there's a major difference between the two. The soldier is ready to serve his or her country and does so by wearing the uniform and doing what he or she is trained to do. The warrior, however, has tasted the sting of battle and has experiences that no other ones share except those who have done the same. A perfect example of this would be my brother from another mother, Mark Boyer, and myself. We are two different sides of the same coin. I've trained with Mark in the military and have done all sorts of crazy things with him, but he has seen battle firsthand. I have not. Does that make me a lesser of a man than him? Of course not. But it does put me in a different category for sure. Untested metal. Mark has been tested under fire, and that puts him in a warrior's category. Him and so many others, both past and present. These warriors go from a firefight one moment to peace and boredom the next. They are literally the walking dead. Warriors at any moment that can be here today and gone tomorrow. From one second to the next by a barrage of bullets, artillery, IEDs, and countless other ways of war. These warriors, few in numbers, compared to the number of people they protect, serve their country willingly and wantingly. Like many of our first responders, these warriors go in where the masses are trying to get out. They face the enemy head on with courage, discipline, honor, and duty. Every one of us owe every one of them a debt of gratitude and a rigid salute. Best known for his book titled 1984, the novelist George Orwell wrote, "People sleep peaceably in their beds at night only because rough men stand ready to do violence on their behalf." And since times have changed, I will add women too. Although women don't fight in the trenches, they do fly jets and engage the enemy in some other aspects of war. So when you see a soldier, ladies and gentlemen, look at them through a different set of lenses, and then praise God for them. Trey, perfect timing. Let's take a break. And ladies and gentlemen, when we get back, we're going to have Super Attorney Rick Dodd sitting to my left going over a plethora of different topics.
A plethora.
See you anyway. This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035.
It's a trust as true as Texas, a friend with a helping hand. When you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Is your insurance company taking too big a bite out of your apple? When you're shopping for property insurance, think about coverage, service, and price. Make sure you're getting the most for your money. When you compare apples to apples, you'll see that Germania Insurance delivers outstanding value. Competitive rates, flexible payment options, and discounts. Plus, Germania offers 24/7 customer claim service. Trusted by Texans since 1896. Don't give up service or sacrifice coverage. Compare apples to apples, then choose the outstanding value offered by Germania Insurance.
So when you want to ensure the good things in life, trust Germania.
Call 697-4683 for Sharon Ruback, representative of Ruback Insurance and Germania Farm Mutual Companies.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's June 16th, 2018, and on my left, I have the awesome super attorney, Rick Dodd. Rick, how's it going? It's always a pleasure to have you here.
It's doing great today. I'm looking forward to going to Holland and maybe having a little corn, and, you know, I understand some of the German and Bohemians over there that might be a little cold beer.
There you go. Sounds like a good time, man.
Yeah, then next weekend, we got to look forward to the barbecue over in Thorndale.
I mean, I'm used to the Halloween thing where you're bobbing for apples. These guys bob for corn cobs, don't they?
At least. they do almost anything with corn. And the cobs.
We won't go there. Okay. All right, Rick. We had Ross on here a couple of times talking about common law.
I heard some of those segments. Ross did a really good job on explaining those things. It's an interesting subject, though.
But he made a comment about how there's a separation in the sense of he does certain things and you do other things. And this is where it's coming in. You're really intense about this aspect of it. So I wanted to get you on here and talk about it. So tell us what's going on and how it fits into everything.
Well, of course, what's happening is that more and more people are entering into common law marriages. And common law marriage is a marriage, just like if you went down in front of the preacher or the justice of the peace and get married. I mean, you're married, husband and wife. Once you've entered into a common law marriage, it's a marriage for all purposes in Texas. Texas, of course, has laws that are a little bit different than Louisiana. Like, for instance, Louisiana is based on French law. Texas has its roots in Spanish law. So common law marriages and common community property are a part of our laws here in Texas. Some of the stuff that Ross does is family law, divorces and what have you. And as such, he gets involved in family law stuff that involves marriages, and as common law is a marriage, he's involved in that. What I do is represent people who've been killed or injured, the families of such. So when I represent a family and a lady calls me and says, well, my husband was killed in a truck wreck. About 2 months later, I find out that it is a common law marriage. And, of course, I have to prove the common law marriage in order to be successful. You know, as a plaintiff, we always have to prove everything to prove our case up. So I have to prove that the elements of the common law marriage were there. There's a lot of myths about common law marriage, and I'll give you a few examples. If we talk about being married but never told anyone, there's a myth that we might be. Well, you're not, because you have to hold yourself out as husband and wife. Another myth, if we have kids together and the kids take the father's last name, we're common law. Well, that's not true either.
That's a big surprise on that one.
Well, it is. You would think that that would do it, but you have to hold yourself out. You have to tell others, in other words, that you're married. You have to cohabitate. And, you know, the little scenario I just gave you didn't necessarily mean that they cohabitated. And they have to have a mutual agreement, just like any other contract. Both parties have to have an agreement that they're married. So, then another myth, if we agree to be married, and then we agreed to be divorced, we can then agree to be divorced in the same way. Well, that's not true, because once you're married, but you cannot common law divorce. There's only common law marriage. So, you get ready to be married, you live together, and you represent to others. So the only way out of that was if you don't have a capacity. Now, you have to have a capacity to contract. You have a capacity to agree to these things. In Texas, marriages so far are only for opposite sex. So you can't have common law marriage between two ladies or two men. You have to be 18 years of age or older. So a couple of 17-year-olds couldn't get together and turn themselves into married people. You cannot be related. In other words, cousins can't marry. Now, I think second cousins in Texas is okay. Perhaps not. There's a law that specifically talks about that. And then, most importantly, is you cannot currently be married. Now, of course, those elements of capacity also apply to if you go down to the Justice of the Peace office. So the intention that I talked about, it has to be all at the same time. There has to be a present, immediate, and permanent marital relationship. In other words, all three of these things that I mentioned have to exist at the same time in order for there to be this marriage. Now, how do you prove that? As Ross said, it's all a question of fact. I mean, you must be maintaining a household and doing things that are commonly done by a husband and wife. So that's pretty broad. If a common law marriage exists, then all the property and debts accumulated during the common law marriage are community property. Now, let's talk about that a minute. We know there's separate property. We know there's community property. The definition of separate property is anything that's not community property. And that's important because under the law, everything is presumed to be community property. So if you want to prove that something is separate property, that is your duty to prove that. And if you don't have proof...
But what's the clear definition of separate property?
Anything that's not community property.
Okay.
That's pretty clear, huh?
clear as mud.
So what kind of proof could you present to show that it's separate property? You can show that it was a gift from someone in particular. You can show that it's an inheritance. But you have to keep it separate. You can't commingle it. Once you've commingled separate property,
clarify what you mean by that.
Put separate property into a bank account where there's community, then you can't separate that.
Now, let's say, for example, you got a beautiful painting that you inherited, and it was yours, and you put it on the wall in the house that you cohabitate in. Does that become community property?
No, it would continue to be separate property.
Okay.
And so far as it is a personal property, it doesn't become part of the real estate. Now, if you have maybe some sort of equipment, like an island that you pull out of one house and you go and plant it into another house, so you can't remove it without destroying parts of the other house, then that might become part of the real estate, and as such, then it would become part of whatever property the house is. So, you know, you might be common law married in Texas if you, say, file income tax returns and put down that both people are married. In other words, my spouse. You might have a common law marriage if you fill out an insurance policy that identifies the other person as your spouse, and or if you designate them as my wife or my husband. If you purchase real estate, a lot of times you'll see that there's an indication of a spouse, and if you put the other person down as your husband or wife, that might do it. So if you take out a loan, you could put down husband and wife, and that might do it. If you send letters or cards to the other person, say, from your loving husband or your loving wife, then that might do it. See, that's the kind of proof that I'm talking about that goes with these three elements. Or if you host or attend a party and hear it, and all this has to be in Texas, by the way. I mean, if you're over in France and you say, here's my lovely wife, that doesn't count. It has to be done in Texas. So if you host or attend a party in Texas where you introduce the other person as your spouse, then that might do it. If you register at a hotel, Mr. and Mrs., that might do it. If you have your family members say, okay, I want you to refer to him as your son-in-law from now on, that might do it. So if you introduce the other person to your neighbors, your colleagues, your friends, husband and wife, that might do it. If you, in other words, you agree to live together like husband and wife and be a married couple, that is really important that there is a meeting of the minds.
I want to ask you something, Rick. What is it? Why does the law allow this? I would think because it causes confusion, and they have the ability to get married.
Well, the history of it goes back to a time when there wasn't a lot of law. And what I mean by that, law men. And there wasn't a lot of justice of the peace hanging out. And there wasn't opportunities, if you may, for couples to go down and get the marriage certificate and go to church and get married. So, you know, I'm talking about a long time ago. Again, we're rooted in Spanish law, which was a long time ago. So that's sort of the history of it. Well, I like to look at it as sort of like the mailman rule. In other words, if the mailman believes your common law, that'd be pretty good testimony to bring the mailman into the courthouse and say, yeah, they lived together as husband and wife, and they got mail that says Mr. and Mrs., and, you know, they called each other husband and wife. That'd about do it. I don't think you can get away from something like that if the mailman came in. The butcher, you know, of course, we're beyond that now, but back in the day, they called it the butcher man's law. In other words, if the neighborhood butcher thought these things, that would be pretty good evidence.
Terms, it's amazing how these terms come into play. That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, all this could all happen, but if you have proof that you lived in the same house, but you had separate bedrooms, see, that's not cohabitation under this law. So, you know, if you had proof of that and it was solid enough to overcome someone other's testimony that, oh, yeah, they did sleep together, you know, that would kind of knock that out. So, some of the stuff that I do that where I get involved in common law marriage is someone calls me. I've had this happen three or four different times. A lady would call and ask for my assistance in a situation where the husband was killed, like in a truck wreck. And, you know, my husband was killed. So, okay, I get to work and find out about a month or two later that it was a common law marriage. So, lo and behold, then I need to prove that there's a common law marriage so that I can prove that my client, being a wife, has a cause of action under the Texas wrongful death statute. The Texas wrongful death statute allows the wife, the spouse, the husband, or the children, or the parents of someone who's been killed to bring a wrongful death case in the state of Texas. And so that would be part of the proof. I had one situation where the wife calls me, and another lawyer calls me about 2 months ago, and who represents the parents and the children of the deceased. And lo and behold to me, he says, they've never heard of this lady. They don't know her. They've never met her. Well, that was put me on edge a little bit, so I started gathering information, and I got a hold of the rental agreement for the place that they lived. And the gentleman had signed my wife and I, and she had also signed as the wife of. So that was pretty good evidence. But what really turned it over, she happened to be pregnant at the time, and the DNA turns out that the child was the deceased child. And the reason that turned it around is because, of course, the grandparents of that child, the mother and father of the deceased, wanted to bring the family together.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's one of those things where we're on the same side on this, the parents and the wife. We're on the same side, so we need to work together, and we don't need to be fighting amongst each other. So all that taken together, I was really glad that the other attorney was a good lawyer and knew what he was doing. So he and I came to an agreement, and we lived happily ever after down that road.
You would think, though, if there's no problems, that this should be kind of easy. The problem is, in common law marriages, I guess, is that if there's a disruption or problem or breakup that is not good, that's where all hell can break loose. Because then you got, it was like you were saying about these parents, grandparents, everybody want to keep the family together. It was a happy thing in the sense of trying to keep the family together, so there shouldn't be too much contestment to that. But if you have somebody who's angry with somebody and wants to get out and thinks they deserve this or that, that's where that can cause a lot more problems, right?
Sure. Well, you know, we look at this stuff. Whenever I'm in the courtroom, almost always we got to look at motive. What is the motive? Well, in the cases I just described, the motive for the insurance company of the trucking company was to prove that she wasn't the spouse. Therefore, she would not have a cause of action. Therefore, they could save their money.
Right.
So there's money involved. Now, most of the divorces that I've seen go on have to do with money. In other words, if there is a marriage and it's a common law marriage and there was a bunch of money made by one of the spouses during that situation, or the funds were commingled that they made during the marriage, one of the spouses wants to prove that it's community property, and so money is the motive.
Would you do people do common law marriages because, and I don't mean this ugly, but they're lazy to get married, or they feel there's no need for a piece of paper to show the love between two? I mean, what do you see as one of the main reasons why people do common law as compared to getting an actual certificate of marriage?
Well, it's easy. And what I mean by that, it doesn't require a lot of work. I mean, you go ahead and say these things and do these things and you're married. I don't know what people's motives are for doing it. It just happens, you know, like so many things in our life. Things just happen.
It just happens.
So suddenly we are married, and you can't just say, I'm unmarried.
And you sort go, like, how the heck did that happen?
Sort of like seeing bad things, you know. Some things you just can't unsee, you know. It just happens.
All right, everybody, look, we've talked about common law marriages approximately 3 weeks now, not in a row, but we've touched on it because there's so much. We could probably do another show on it from A to Z in depth with a whole bunch of new questions pertaining to it. But we're gonna break up this segment. Rick, I was talking to you about a couple other topics, and I thought they were pretty interesting. I've had a couple people contact me on a couple different issues. One was militias. Another one was city parks and penal codes when it comes to carrying concealed or open in the state of Texas. So which one do you want to hit first?
Well, you know, this thing about city parks, I mean, we've talked about the right to carry, I don't want to say ad nauseum, but we've talked about it over and over again, and we've talked about where and when and how you can carry, and it's pretty plain. There are rules about that. And when we started the law in January the 1st of 2016, known as open carry law, which allowed us to carry our iron on the outside of our body as long as it was in a shoulder or a holster.
Hip holster.
The laws became pretty clear about when and where you can't carry.
You would think they're very clear, Rick. I guess so many gray statements.
It can certainly become gray because you have a lot of words there. But let's say like Mr. Grisham, a man who is advocate for open carry and who has tested that with the Almost Park City. I think probably a lot of people have read about him being arrested in the Almost Park City for carrying a long gun around against a city ordinance. So if you're in a city park, say in Temple, Texas, or in Cameron, Texas, you have the right to carry your arm if you have the license to carry it, as long as it's in a holster, or if it is in the shoulder, or if you conceal it. So it's hard for them to take that right away from you, because the state of Texas, when they changed these laws or made these laws, pretty much says you have that right. And one thing you can't do if you're a city, and we talked about this, I think, when we were talking about the Constitution, is you can't overpower the state law.
I need to set this up just a little bit, Rick, because we're talking in generalities here in the sense of going to a city park with an open or concealed weapon. We're talking about people who may be ignorant to the law as functions that are happening at these locations. For example, if there's a school-sponsored activity taking place, you can't participate in that with a concealed weapon or an open carry weapon. If there's if it's a public park and part of it's cordoned off and taped off, I think you can do that because the state parks can do that. A state park, you can go in with a concealed or open carry weapon, but if there's sections that are being blocked off for whatever reason and they post it, you can't go into those areas.
Yeah, I mean, if you're prohibited from going into those areas without a weapon, then you're also prohibited from going in those areas with a weapon. So
here we have, let's just say we got a game being played, a baseball game of some sort being played at the city park. No tickets are being sold. It's just a good old team against team, and you're going in there with your weapon on your hip. There should be no problems because we've got Penal Code 4603, Penal Code 46035, and it clearly states what you can and cannot do and where you can do those.
Right on. You know, they have the rules 30.06 and 30.07 that talk about the signs that have to be put up. And they talk about those signs being placed in entryways. Well, a park doesn't have entryways, so you can't put signs up to block people. And also, it is a public park. And these rules about putting these signs up really have to do with private individuals and private places of business.
Right.
So you have the right to go in there. And so this situation where Mr. Grisham with Almost, you know, they wanted to arrest him, and that was basically a test. So while they did it, while they were you know, arresting him for carrying that gun, they thought they'd just go ahead and throw a little tase and a whop on the head because he had a big old scar across the top of his head. But amazingly enough, after this all happened, the city council met and decided, well, we're just going to overturn that law. And I believe all the charges were dropped against Mr. Grissom. I'm not sure. They should have been. I mean, they were hitting him with stuff like obstructing a roadway, interfering with the duties of a servant. So, you know, they were just trying to cause him trouble. And, of course, I wouldn't have done what he did, but his deal was he's going to test the law, so more power to him.
Rick, do me a favor. For my sake and for a lot of people out there, can you please reiterate how state or city laws or ordinance cannot trump or override state or constitutional laws? Can you please explain that again?
Sure. So the state law that allows open carry specifically says that you can't have city ordinances that block this. And that went into effect, I believe, on 1/1/16. In any case, it's in effect now. So there's no way that a city council could go out and put an ordinance and say no open carry or concealed weapons in state parks, or city parks, rather.
Because we had a discussion about that with an individual. We weren't sure of if the city council could do something. But now that you just clarified that, they can't override what's written in the state law.
Right.
Okay.
Right. I mean, what you're looking at is practicing your First and Second Amendment rights when you go and you, like Mr. Grissom did, he went to a organized situation. In other words, we have the right to assemble, and we have the right to keep and bear arms. So they can't knock that part of the Constitution out by saying, well, we're going to make that against law. You can't organize, you can't assemble, because that's our constitutional right. And, you know, that was the point they were trying to make.
Okay.
So the video of Mr. By the way, the video of Mr. Grissom getting out of jail, it picked up 120,000 views on YouTube and Facebook. So it was pretty popular.
That's a very important. You want to take that call? Let's see who it is. We got a call coming in. Welcome to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Who we got on the line?
Hey, Matt. This is Squirrel.
Hey, Squirrel.
This is the guy that you were talking about with the Little League game.
I didn't want to go too far in depth, but since you're on the air, why don't you explain it briefly and let us know.
Well, briefly, there was two assistant coaches that decided, even though I was carrying all season, they approached me, got very loud, and told me I had to leave, got the president of the league involved, told me I had to leave. I patiently went up to my truck, thought about it, called for the PDN. He did come in and backed up what y'all were saying, that I was allowed to carry. And I had crossed no laws that put it in an illegal standard. Now, the next step to this is these two assistant coaches are going around telling their parents now that for their child to play on this team is unsafe, because there's a citizen carrying the gun. And they need to leave this team and go over to this new team and their foreman. So, people are ignorant.
Okay, so just for the sake of time here, basically the major misconception or the ignorance part of it was they felt because there's kids in a park, you couldn't carry a concealed or open carried weapon. Is that correct?
Right, okay. And there had been a shooting in that park already. Is another reason we were carrying it.
All the more reason to carry. That's right, Ricky. Any comment on that?
Well, Squirrel, obviously they were mistaken about your right to carry. So, anytime you're looking at your rights and their rights, everybody has a right to pursue happiness. You got to balance it out. So, I don't know why they were uncomfortable, but. You know, if they're going to leave and do that, that's their right. So just like it's your right to carry the...
But I do, hey, Squirrel, I do want to credit you, though, for walking away and waiting for the law to come in there and to clarify it and to show that you knew your penal code and you understood it. So that's what everybody with a licensed carry needs to do. They need to know their penal code. Knowledge is power. You don't have to do any confrontation. Do it in a very controlled manner so that no conflict arises.
There are places you can carry, like public lobbies, you can municipal complexes, animal shelters, operations centers, training centers, airport terminals, as long as you don't try to get on the plane, libraries.
Right.
recreation centers, community centers, tennis centers. But there are some places, on the other hand, that you cannot carry, like the city council meetings or in the city council chamber, a board or commission meetings or other open meetings subject to Open Meetings Act. I mean, you're not supposed to carry in those places.
Hey, Squirrel, here's what we're going to do. I want to let you go off the line. We might have some other callers coming in. But thanks for calling. Thanks for bringing up the topic. And I want to talk about Penal Code 46035 real quick. So people have people think that they can't go into nursing homes or hospitals and amusement parks and places of worship because way back in the beginning when the law was made, you couldn't do those things. Those were in Penal Code 4603. And then they broke it down to Penal Code 46035. And clearly and quickly what it means is in Penal Code 46035, those places I just mentioned, you can't go there either. But they have to post a sign for it to be illegal. So in other words, if the sign isn't up, you can go in. If the sign is up, you can't go in. So you just got to pay attention. Why they did that, I don't know. It caused a lot of confusion. But that's what we teach in the class. And I got a class on June 30th, Saturday, 2 p.m. Call or email me if you want to get registered for the class.
And, of course, the law says you can't go in courtrooms with a gun. You can't go into polling places with a gun. But you're talking about these hospitals. And, I mean, the signs that are required are so big that you can't miss them.
Well, they used to have them where they weren't, and now when that one soldier went into, especially Scott and White, and it caused a big stink, all the doors now have the penal code. So they've got
to have two signs, and each one of those two signs have to be in English and in Spanish, or they can break it down into four signs. But the requirement for 3006 has to do with carrying a concealed weapon, and 30.07 has to do with carrying open.
Here's the rub on some people, though. They keep their 30-06 signs, and you got your gun concealed. What you do? You just open carry your gun. Or if they got the open carry sign up, then you can conceal your weapon. Here, a perfect example for that would be apartment complexes. I'm seeing this all the time. They're not going to restrict you from carrying it, but they just don't want to see it out in the open and freak some people out.
So, well, that's true. And again, you have to use common sense. If there's one that says you can't carry it open, then, you know, maybe you ought not carry it in there.
Go ahead and take the call. Welcome to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Who we got on the line?
Yes, sir. When are you going to make your next announcements? You know, like church announcements?
I'm not sure. We'll have to get back to you on that. This is a gun show, so thanks for calling, and you can check it later. Rick, we've got about, I don't know, 7-8 minutes. Do we finish up on this? We want to go to the next section here? Or do you have something else you want to talk about on this?
Well, okay, let's talk about a minute about private. We talked a little bit about city parks. I mean, private businesses can always prohibit with these signs. So what we got to look at is what is the legislative intent? The legislation has made it very difficult to keep people from carrying. In other words, they require the sign that can be, you know, like, it has to have 1-inch letters, and it has to say exactly what the legislature says. So for it to be in English, for it to be in Spanish, for it to have to do with a concealed gun, and then also a different, separate, whole nother sign for open carry, pretty soon the front of your store is going to be nothing but the signs. I mean, they can be 24 inches wide. They can be 3 foot tall. But they also allow, if a private person wants you out, they can tell you to get verbally out. If you don't leave, then you become a trespasser, and you can be arrested then. They also allow the business owner to pass out a card. If you walk in with open carry and the business owner hands you a card and has this exact language on that card that says you shouldn't be there with your open carry, or if a separate one says with your concealed weapon, then you better leave or you'll become a trespasser.
I want to make a comment on that. I totally respect the private owner's decision as to whether they want guns in there or not. Obviously, I disagree with the logic behind it, that you're going to be safer without the guns, but I respect their opinion. But the one thing that gave me a bad rub was this. I go down to requalify as an instructor, and we have a 33-year veteran of the DPS up there teaching this class on signage, and he goes, you know that no Ghostbuster sign, the circle with the slash? Well, if they put that on the door, you know what they're thinking. Don't go in there. And I wanted to go through the roof.
because you just here specifically said verbiage has got to be right. It's got to be 1 inch lettering and height. I mean, if it's 7/8 inches and you want to refuse it, then you're stupid, okay? But if it's basically general English and Spanish properly posted and all this kind of stuff. But now you have – I have this thought process that if this 33-year vet DPS thinks like that, is that the thought process throughout the entire DPS or a lot of them? So if you go into a store that has a no Ghostbuster sign on it and for some reason there's a disturbance and an officer comes in, I got to worry about, does he really know that I have the right to be here? Because the signs weren't posted, so on and so forth. So just keep that in mind, everybody. Know your signage, know your laws. This way, when something gets outside of that realm, you can adjust yourself accordingly. Trey, let's take that call. Let's see what's going on. Welcome to the show. This is Matt. Who are you?
Hello, just a minute.
Don't got a minute.
So I would like to leave an announcement for you to make for me.
Call back, ma'am. Thank you. All right, Rick, let's talk about this other segment here. I had another individual contact me asking certain questions, and the topic of militias came up, and we all know based on the Constitution what that's all about. But
I'm not sure we do.
Well, we should, but you're right. A lot of people don't. They're ignorant to it. They get this concept that militias are bad, and the true sense of the militia is not bad. It's actually fantastic. So I was wondering, with your skill and expertise, is there any outlying laws or procedures or concepts or things that you can promote here in the sense of what's good and what's not?
How much time do we have?
You got about 4 minutes.
Ain't no way. Well, let me say in 4 minutes that really the concept of a militia is changed over our history. It's changed since the Constitution was written. In other words, the Constitution says what it says, but the concept of the militia has changed. If you've ever gone up to Concord, Massachusetts, which I recommend,
When you say concept, do you mean public opinion or public thought of it? Is that what you mean?
No, the reality of
okay,
it.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Up there is a Minuteman, and that was the original militia, and that's the sort of thing that was thought of when we think of a militia as being a good thing, and that's the sort of thing that was thought of when the Constitution was written. A man with his musket, with one hand on the plow, ready to leave the plow in 1 minute if he was called on to protect our nation and to protect our freedom. So, you know, the new Constitution at that time empowered the Congress to organize, arm, and discipline this national military force, because that was our military force. It left a lot of control to organize those forces to the state governments. So this was the United States ideal of the citizen soldier in the militia, is the Concord Minuteman of 1775. Now, that's changed over time, as I said, because right now there are two kinds of militia. There's the organized militia, which consists of the state militia forces, notably the National Guard and the Naval Guard. Now, don't get those confused with the National Guard of the United States, although that is what makes up the National Guard of the United States today. Now, there's an organized militia, which is probably the militia that you are being asked about, and that consists basically of a reserve militia. This is anybody who's able-bodied, who is at least 17 years old and under 45 years old and not a member of the National Guard or Naval Militia. In other words, any person 17 to 45 is, by definition, a member of a militia.
Okay.
So are you less than 45?
No, sir.
Sorry, you're not a member of the militia. You might go out and you know, play army and stuff, but you're not a member of the militia.
I may be broken in a few places, but I'm still good as I was. Okay, go ahead.
So when old George Washington was handling this, you know, he was in charge of the Continental Army, and there was a lot of things going on at that time. Basically, they were outnumbered and out-organized, and their equipment wasn't very good. So he tried to get some help from the militias, and he found out that he experienced all kinds of evils of insubordination among the troops. There was perverseness among the militias and inactivity in the officers, disregard for orders, and reluctance in the civil authorities to help in any way. And what it really upset him more than anything else, the laws gave him no power, zero power to correct these evils. In other words, he couldn't depend on the militias because he couldn't make them do anything. And, you know, that was back when. We look back at our history and we read our books and we think, man, it was great. You know, George Washington had all the power because everybody was with him. it just wasn't so. There were a lot of people that...
There's three things I can't stand: an untrained dog, an untrained child, an untrained soldier.
That's right, untrained. That was the bottom line. So they needed to be able to train them. So then you get into the Revolutionary War, and you had the Minutemen sort of, they depended on them in times of war, basically in times of peace. So they found out, they being the officers, George Washington and his company, that really militia was good in times of peace to try to get some training done so that if they were invaded, they could organize fairly quickly. So somewhere around April of 1775, the British force of about 800 people marched out of Boston towards Concord, and this is where the statue is. And they intended to destroy a lot of the Patriots' arms and ammunition, which they didn't have a whole lot of. And about 5 o'clock in the morning at Lexington, they were met by 70 armed militiamen, 70 against 800. And they told these 70 guys to get out of here, get out of here. And the Minuteman militiamen refused. So there was some shots fired, and this was the shot heard around the world, where 8 militiamen were killed and about 10 were wounded. So they continued on in so in other words, the British busted through that, went on, and they didn't really find the army goodies that they thought they were going to find, the ammo and guns, either because they didn't exist or the people that had them hit them pretty well. But on their way back, guess what? The Minuteman got together, and within a minute, they were all over there, and they were standing behind rocks and trees, and...
I think
They put the hurt on those 800 and caused those 800 guys to go running.
Yeah. The way the world is now, the way the armies are now of the world, defending like that, it's kind of not, it's probably not going to happen. But what's fantastic about this concept, like I was talking to this other individual, was the ability to help your local community. Times of disaster or, say, uprisings right there in the location, you know your fellow militia person, it's your neighbor. And so it's camaraderie amongst people who think the same, who are sheepdogs. They're basically sheepdogs protecting the sheep against the wolves. So if it's meant or kept in that frame of mind, I think it's very positive. It's just when you get these people who are talking revolts and they want to take over this, these are crazies. I don't want to do
that. Well, just like the right to carry, and what you try to tell us all the time is it takes training. It takes discipline. It takes forethought. And you don't have that necessarily in a militia because, remember, everybody, anybody, 17 to 45, untrained, unskilled, they run. And that was the experiences of all these military operations. I mean, all the way up through the Civil War and beyond, the militia would go into battle and it would just be mass confusion. Now, they had pretty good luck with a militia that was behind barricades. In other words, if you had a trench set out already, which, required some training and forethought, or if you had the rocks and the stones and the trees where the militiamen could fire their rifles and then retreat and fire again, that worked pretty well. But the head-on kind of battle that they were used to back in the 1700s, it just didn't work very good with militias. Mm-hmm. That's what George Washington found out, and that's why he had to work so hard to try to get a Continental Army together.
Okay, Rick, we ran long. Here's what we're going to do. Hey, Trey, we're going to have Janae on just a minute, and Chief's going to be running just a little bit late. But I wonder if you think, Rick, I personally get into this. I really want to understand it. If you feel there's a good enough information to reiterate for maybe next week's show, or if you're available, we can do that. But we're going to have to stop here on this. So why don't you tell everybody how they can get a hold of you for the common law situations or any other types of situations that they may have. And Rick's firm is a sponsor of this program, and we thank them very much. Couldn't do it without you and all the other sponsors as well. So,
well, you can get in touch with us at respectforyou.com. If you look on that, you'll see a lot of stuff that we do. You can reach us at 1-800-460-0606 or 888-MESO-FIRM. And anytime you have something go wrong, I mean, if it's a bad thing, if you have some abuse by insurance company, if you get hurt on the job really bad, it doesn't hurt to come talk to us about it. It doesn't necessarily mean that we'll take your case, but we can sit down and visit with you about the elements required, the liability that's required, the causation that's required, and the damages. All three of those things have to exist, and we're happy to talk to you about that, and we don't charge to visit with you. And if you do hire us, there'll be a contract. We'll lay it out for you. You can look at it and determine what you want and don't want, and we can talk about that too. So it's pretty easy. We don't bite. Come see us.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks a lot, Rick. Appreciate you. Trey, give us a quick commercial for the firm, and then we'll come back with the delicious Janae Goodman.
Welcome to vacation season. Well, for most of you. Anyways, I want to give you some tips on what you should pack if you're gearing up for some high-energy walking and exploring. I'm Janae Goodman, and this is Tactical Snacking. A couple of rules you should keep in mind for your ideal hiking snacks. Make sure that they don't require any prep. You want quick, light snacks that don't need any on-the-go maintenance. And of course, make sure they're tasty. Duh. Dried snacks are a traditional choice, and for a good reason. Dried fruits and jerkies have an advantage of not rotting in your bag, and they're also not altered by heat. Not to mention that you don't have to worry about holding on to fruit peels and cores. I love bananas, but let's be honest, that suitcase of theirs isn't very durable, and they become mushy and bruised when exposed to high heat or tight spaces in your backpack. If you're adamant about your bananas, eat them on a sandwich instead, along with peanut butter. Bananas are high in potassium. Peanut butter is packed with protein. And together, they make a delicious yet nutritious combo. By the way, if you need my recipe for oven-dried beef jerky that was shared on last week's show, shoot me an email. I've got it on tap for you. While we're on tap, please promise me you'll stay hydrated. Drinking plenty of water leading up to an activity will help retain water levels during your hike. If at any moment you feel lightheaded or dizzy, take a break and sip on some coconut water. It's high in potassium, which can help with cramping and can act as an instant hydrator when you're dealing with mild dehydration. If you're planning on doing a ton of sweating, pack a salty snack. When we sweat, salt leaves our bodies. Salt also allows our bodies to hold water, but be mindful not to overshoot your sodium intake, which can lead to hypertension and other health issues. So before you reach for the potato chips, here's a different idea for your adventure. Roasted chickpeas. They're cheap, easy to make, and simply delicious. Not to mention that they're filled with fiber and protein. And before you gripe, yes, you can use canned chickpeas. Preheat your oven to 400 degrees. Drain your chickpeas and rinse them with cold water. Pat them dry and layer them out on an aluminum foil lined sheet tray. Bake them for about 30 minutes or until they're crispy all the way through, stirring them once halfway through the cooking process. After they're done, toss them with just enough oil to get your seasoning to stick. About a fourth to a half of a teaspoon of oil. Toss along with paprika, salt, and garlic powder while they're still hot. You can opt for cayenne pepper as well if you'd like them to be spicy. After they've had time to cool, you can put your chickpeas in an airtight container. Making your own granola at home is such a treat. Regardless of if you're taking a trip to the park or to your couch, it's a pleasant snack that can be made with a variety of your favorite ingredients. Not to mention that there are a bunch of unnecessary ingredients when you buy it from the store. My good friend Abby shared this ratio recipe with me some time ago, so I want to share it with you. You'll need 2.5 cups of old-fashioned rolled oats, 1/2 cup of roughly chopped nuts if you're using them, 1/4 cup of honey, as well as 1/4 cup of coconut oil or unsalted butter, 1/3 cup of light brown sugar, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, and 3/4 cup of your choice add-ins. My favorite combination is almonds, coconut flakes, dried cranberries, and dark chocolate chips, but you can adjust your mix-ins based on your needs and preferences. To start, you'll need to toast your oats and nuts in a 350-degree oven for about 8 minutes or until lightly fragrant and browned. The oats and nuts will go in a large bowl when they're finished. But while they're in the oven, combine the honey, coconut oil, or butter, and light brown sugar in a small saucepan over medium heat until it's melted and thoroughly combined, stirring occasionally. Stir in the vanilla and salt and pour this mixture over your toasted oats. Stir and combine and toss in your mix-ins. If you're using chocolate, you'll want to wait about 15 minutes before adding it in to make sure that it doesn't melt. Once all of your add-ins are incorporated, introduce your mixer to a 9 by 13 rectangular cake pan that's been covered in parchment paper. Spread evenly and press it down firmly with the bottom of a grease measuring cup, and let it chill for about 2 hours in the fridge or on the countertop overnight. Once set, you can cut and shape your granola into bars or opt to crumble it into snack bags instead. As always, I'm here if you need me. Reach out to tacticalsnacking@yahoo.com if you need any recipes or have any culinary questions. Oh, and if you need to reload on Bug Out Bag Essentials information, find it on the homepage at thecultivatedclassroom.com. Are you still here? Take a hike. And until next time, stay hungry, my friends.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. It is now time for the master of manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of encyclopedia, Officer Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement.
Go.
Good morning, everyone. Hope you're having a great Saturday, the day before Father's Day. Don't forget to go wish your fathers a happy Father's Day. And all you kids that are out there maybe listening to this, remember, they're the only dad you're going to have, so take care of them, even when they're in the rest home, like I'll be father in a few years. Anyhow. Today, what we're going to do, we're going to talk a little bit about something that is kind of near and dear to my heart. I had a couple of neighbors, or actually one neighbor this past week that was left on vacation. And when he came back, somebody had gone through their backyard and into the back of the house and removed a couple of things out of the house. So it's a common everyday burglary. When you say common everyday burglary, well, you know, your home is supposed to be your castle. Unfortunately, with the economy and with the type of crimes that are happening around the country and upswing in crimes around the country, your castle has been invaded many times. Is your home really safe once you leave for work or out for a night with loved ones? I don't know. Your home is considered a sanctuary where you feel safe most of the time. Your home is the only environment where you can have control over what you can do and what you can do, who you can get close to, where you can go. We can't control what happens in the outside world, but we have control over our home. Protecting your home and your family from criminal intrusion should be high on your priority list, folks. You know, we talk about arming ourselves here. We talk about the right to carry and how it's better to always have a pistol with you or a gun with you. But sometimes we overlook the most common things we can do, which is simply protecting our home and our loved ones. It should be high on that list. By far, the most common threat to our homes are burglary and theft. Central Texas is far from immune from that, folks. Remember when you could sleep at night with your screen doors latched, your door open, your windows open, and your car is unlocked outside? That, folks, is not the case anymore, and you know that. According to the FBI, a burglary occurs somewhere in the United States every 15.4 seconds. Now, think about that. This radio show is 2 hours long. calculate how many burglaries have happened across the United States during that period of time. And it's astounding. By definition, the crime of burglary is a non-confrontational property crime that occurs when someone is not home. You hear people say, my house has been robbed. Well, a house can't be robbed in Texas. It's burglarized in Texas. However, becoming a burglary victim can leave you and your family feeling very vulnerable and violated. To avoid becoming a burglary victim, it's important to first gain an understanding of who commits those burglaries and why. And I think that's really important. The majority of home and apartment burglaries occur during the daytime when most people are away at work. Now, we worry about nighttime burglaries because that ends up being a home invasion unless you work at night. The summer months of June, July, and August have always been the highest rated burglary months of the year. And you think, well, that's strange. You'd think around Christmas time would be. Nope. The summer months are always, always historically the months when more burglaries take place. And the same is true here in Central Texas as well. Burglaries are committed often, and most often, by young people under the age of 35 years of age. And they're looking for small things, expensive things that can be easily taken and converted to cash. You know, favorite items such as jewelry, guns, watches, computers, etc. are high on their list, folks. Quick cash is needed for living expenses and drugs, and that's one of the reasons why burglaries are on the upswing, because of the use of drugs. So statistics, and I know most people don't like to hear statistics, but statistics tell us that 70% of the burglars use some amount of force in entering a building when they get in. But their preference is to gain entry without having to make noise and open. And basically what they're looking for is an open window or an open door. Ordinary household tools like a screwdriver, channel lock pliers, pry bars, etc. are most often used to get in those areas. Burglars commit and continue to flourish because our people who own their homes, they don't take the time to do what is necessary to protect your home. You know, we buy insurance. We buy car insurance. We buy health insurance because we expect and we think, well, I've got to be protected. What if something happens to me? Well, folks, the same is true when you have a home. You got to choose. You got to be able to make choices. And sometimes that includes hardening the target a little bit. And like I said, the first step is to harden the target and to make your home more difficult to enter. Remember, the burglar simply will bypass your house and go to your next-door neighbor's home and burglarize that if he can't get into your house very easy. And let's be honest, folks, and I know this is kind of a bad thing to say, but would you rather have your home burglarized or would you rather have your neighbor's home burglarized? Preferably neither one, but I know most of us, we want to take care of ourselves. Experienced burglars know the garage doors usually lead into a home or usually are not locked from the garage to the house. Folks, one thing I'll tell you, and I want you to think about this a minute. Right now, sitting out in front of your driveway in your house, you probably got your car in the drive if you don't have it in the garage. Well, in that car is usually a remote control that goes to your garage door. Press that button, the garage door comes up, somebody slips in, they push the button, the garage door goes down. But is the door leading from your garage into your home, is it secured? Most people don't lock that door. And that is a very, very vulnerable position for a homeowner, especially when you're in a rural area where there's a lot of traffic, the urban area, where there's a lot of traffic and people don't pay attention to garage doors going up and down. Once again, you got to learn to harden the target. And how do we do that? Well, we harden it quite simply by protecting our doors, our windows, and our items such as that. Your front door, your back door that lead in and out of the house, they should be of a good quality, not a flimsy hollow core door. They should be either solid wood or a steel-covered door. They're just about as cheap, either one of them. Use a quality, heavy-duty deadbolt lock with at least a one-inch throw. The kind you can buy at Lowe's, the kind you can buy at Home Depot, Anderle's, anywhere like that has a good locking type of throw. Make sure that is put into correctly and make sure it's put into a good hardened door, so to speak. Use quality, heavy-duty knob-ins that's with the deadbolt latch mechanism. You know, I can't tell you how many houses that way in my career I've gone to that were burglarized, and the type of lock they had on their door was simply the kind that most people have on their bathrooms. A little small lock in the handle, type of turn left, turn right, up and down. That won't secure a credit card even. Most credit cards can get into that. Now, how many of you have sliding glass doors? If you do, they pose a specific problem. You know, most homes back in the 80s, 70s, 80s, and some of the early 90s homes were equipped with sliding glass doors. The problem with sliding glass doors is the way they're put in. To be installed, they have to have a place where you can push them up and then drop them in. That creates a problem. A good burglar will know that all you got to do is either push up on the door, and most times the latch goes up so it'll unlatch itself, and they can get into the house. Simply so easy to over and defeat that. It costs the price of two small screws and a nothing more than a dowel rod that you put behind the door. You put the screws at the top of the door track just so that the door closes, and then they can't push up on it. But if you need to pull it out, you can just open the door, unscrew those, and you can remove the glass door and have it worked on wherever you need. Sliding doors are a problem. Like I said, it costs you probably less than $2 to supply that. And the same goes true with some of these houses that we saw back in the 70s and 80s that also had sliding glass windows in them. Sliding glass windows are a problem for a homeowner. You know, burglars look for things like this. They look for things that they can get in and out of very simply. Something that's going to be a quick fix that they can go and leave, take what they want, and not be seen, not be detected. And like I said, most of the time during the daytime, we don't pay attention to things like that. You know, it was little things such as getting a decent alarm system. Used to, alarm systems would cost you megabucks. They would be very expensive. Nowadays, you can get free installation on a sundry of different alarm companies. And with that, you usually get a $25 or a $30 monitoring fee a month. Alarm systems do work, folks. I will tell you right now. Especially the ones that are coupled with either a flashing strobe light or a loud siren that goes off when the trip is broken. You know, there's a lot of good companies out there, but one thing I will caution you, do your research. Make sure that you get a company that's not too far away, that if you have issues with it, they'll be happy to come out and they'll be happy to fix it. Most alarm systems, especially the newer ones that are by cell phone technology, The new alarm systems create almost no problems for the homeowner. But if you fear that, and if you think that you may be scared that you would need to have it repaired or looked at, get a local one to do that for you. And there's a lot of them. Make sure you ask if they are a licensed with the DPS, though. If they're not a licensed installer or a licensed alarm company, you don't want to deal with them. The same that goes true with video camera systems. You know, a lot of people think the video camera systems don't work. Well, folks, you put those cameras up around your house. You can get one at one of the local big box stores for less than a couple of hundred bucks, have them put in. Or you can call somebody and have a system installed for you for less than $300 or $400 in most cases. It's at least some resemblance of having safety. There's also a couple of new things that are on the market. I'm sure you've seen advertised on TV called the Ring. It's a device that you put on your door. It's like a doorbell. And when somebody rings the doorbell, it activates your cell phone, and you can see exactly who's at your door. Those are dirt cheap nowadays. You can get those at the big box, Home Depot's, Lowe's type stores. They also make one now that is controlled by a sensored movement light. Just like you get the guard lights that you have outside. You can get that put in, you can have it, and you'll move around, and you can, once it's activated, all you gotta do is pick up your cell phone and you can see who's around your house. Little things like that save you in the long run, folks. It saves you not only property, it saves you not only how much it's gonna cost to replace that property, but the most important thing in the world is peace of mind. You can't buy that. You can't replace that. It also helps you have some peace of mind that if you're gone somewhere, your family is protected. Not necessarily your valuables. Valuables can be replaced, folks. Those are a dime a dozen. We don't want to lose anything. A lot of things are sentimental. But the most important thing you have to care about is your family and you. So try to take care of your family the best you can. to wrap this up today, also one of the other things I want to talk about is get to know your adjacent neighbors. You would be surprised how many people don't know who live around them. Invite them into your home and establish some kind of trust with them. Get to know your next door neighbor. Agree to watch out for each other's home. Do small tasks for each other to improve your territoriality. That way, people understand we're taking care of our neighborhood. You know, if they're on vacation, offer to pick up their newspapers and their mail and their flyers for them. If you don't want somebody to do that, make sure you cancel your subscriptions. Get somebody to hold your mail at the post office. Occasionally park your vehicle. Change your vehicles around. Ask them to park in your driveway, you park in theirs. You know, in return the favor, be decent neighbors. Be somebody that's going to take care of each other. You know, and the last but not least, folks, if you're going to go on vacation somewhere, have your house checked on, have people look at your home, have them, somebody come by and inspect it. You know, most of the time we think about our animals there, somebody taking care of our animals, but have somebody do the hardcore protection of your home by simply looking at it. Check your doors for you. Most police departments in this area, matter of fact, I would dare say almost all of them, have a program called Vacation House Watch. All you do is contact your local law enforcement agency, tell them you're going to be out of town, tell them you're going to be on vacation. And I know in the bigger cities, and they're in Cameron as well, they go by and they check your house on a daily basis to make sure it's okay, that there's nothing out of ordinary. It's a valuable, valuable asset, folks. Valuable asset. Home protection is important. You can't buy home protection. You've got to make home protection. You've got to take the initiative. You've got to take the time to go do it. You've got to take the time to get off our duffers and go and make sure our home is secure. Leave your lights on and outside at nighttime. Turn them on so people can see around your home. It's not going to cost you hardly any money at all to do that, folks. That's a cheap way of security. If you're going to go on with some lights and a radio on and the house, put a timer on it, give your house the constant lived-in look. Now, last but not least, folks, once again, I wish all you out there a wonderful, happy Father's Day weekend. And for those of us that have lost our fathers, don't forget to pray for them. And we'll see y'all next week on the radio. Have a great week, everybody.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capolino Dodd Krebs.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap and Mitchell Radio Program. Again, it's June 16, 2018. We're live here for about another 37 minutes, and we are in our Product Lights segment, sponsored by ANC Firearms out of Heidenhammer. I've known Arch Kuntz, the owner, for a long time. He's a fantastic individual. He's got a great store there. It's warm and cozy, full of guns and accessories, pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, holsters, all sorts of good stuff. You need to go check it out. And if you go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the Facebook page, you'll get to see the product spotlight, which is the Taurus G2C in 9mm. It's a pretty good-looking, handsome gun. And I've got it. I'm holding it there, and the price tag is next to it. So you can give them a call at 254-983-4417. Talk to Clint, Mike, Dennis, Arch, whoever picks up the phone. They can square you away. Tell them you heard it here on the show. Support them. They support me. It's a circle of life. Without them, I'm not on the air. Without the likes of Arch Kuntz or Rick Dodd or Kyle Van Cleve and all the other ones who support and sponsor the program, it's people like those that keep the show on the air. So support them. Now, I usually get an article that reviews the product that I'm about to talk about, but I decided to go a different route. I wanted to go and get people's opinion who've actually bought the gun. So I went to arcadeguns.com, and they had a whole bunch of reviews. But first, before I do that, let me give you a description of the gun. It's a Taurus model G2C. It's a semi-automatic pistol in 9mm. It's a matte black finish. It's a double action. And seriously, though, they say double action here. It's really not a double action. It's a single action only, but it has a double strike capability. And let me clarify what that means. When you rack the slide and the hammer or the striker fire and the trigger get all set, ready to pull the trigger to fire it, once you pull the trigger, it's got a cycle for you to pull the trigger again. But if for some reason you got a cartridge in there and the primer doesn't go off, that you release the trigger even further and it double sets it where you can try it again and hopefully the cartridge will go off again. It's a little complicated to explain unless you see it. But in my classes, I teach all the different types of actions. There's single action only, single action self-cocker, double action only. And when you understand it, you're better able to pick the gun that suits you. And the way we test that, people say, well, how do you know if it's a certain type of action? We use the gun in a dry fire mode because, for example, if you have a single action self-cocker and you pull the trigger, the explosion of the cartridge pushes the slide to the rear, which cocks the gun again. So if the gun is empty and you pull the trigger and it doesn't do it, you understand that, oh, it's a single action self-cocker because I'm not able to pull the trigger again unless I had the slide cocked. So, I mean, details like that. But we got a class on the 30th, June 30th, which I go over all of that, and I can teach it to you. But anyway, back on to the gun here, the G2C. It's got a polymer frame, fixed sights, fixed white dot, rear is adjustable white dot, barrel length is 3.2 inches, overall is 6.2 inches, it's 22 ounces, and it has a 12 plus 1 capacity, and it comes with two mags, one in the mag well, one extra, has a safety, a manual safety, and an accessory rail. The grips are textured, thin profile, high profile sights. Okay, so let me read to you some people's opinion on this firearm. This one here is by Steve. Can't beat the price, quality, features, performance. Taurus did a great job with this. Once you get used to the trigger, like I was explaining earlier, it's an excellent gun with good accuracy. It's as good as guns costing double or more. A couple of thousand rounds down the pipe with no problems at all. We liked it so much we bought three, basically the size of a Glock 26 with a thinner profile, holding two more rounds at half the price. Okay, now that's a very good review right there. Let's see what Andy has to say. This is an excellent gun. Very accurate, not too big or small. Very well hidden for concealed carry. overall, Taurus G2C is very well made. Well done. And that was by Andy. Let's see here. Some reviews by WB2001, whoever that is. Taurus is the brand I will trust. You have to get accustomed to the trigger pull, like I mentioned before. As with all short barrel pistols, its accuracy is body mass. If you want to hit the 9 or 10 inch rings at 20 to 25 feet, you're not going to be happy. Well, honestly, everybody, you can hit those 9 and 10 inch circles with a little bit of practice. It's not a problem. Let's see what else we got here. Patriot Mama shoots accurately, super easy to clean. If you're a novice, a quality, affordable, versatile pistol that packs a punch. Let's see what Al has to say. This gun is perfect for the budget, shoots smooth. Reset is very short and does not require the shooter to completely release the trigger to the front for the next shooting. Let's see what John Jay has to say. Very nice gun. Nice gun for the price. Dave, this gun is my first handgun and it feels great in my hand. Dave here did an upgrade to get a stainless steel recoil spring. And after cleaning it, he put on some fluorescent green and red paint because he liked how it was easier to see for him. Then we have, let's see, White Rhino. 13 rounds of 9mm in a brand name subcompact for the $250 range. Must be why we own three. Next review. This is really a great little pistol. I wrote the review to mention that it's listed as a... Oh, okay, he's talking about the same thing. I wrote to mention that it's listed as a double action, but actually it's a single action with a double action restrike capability. Meaning, as soon as you chamber a round on the trigger, it's single action. I concur. So long as the round fires, the trigger resets, is very short, and does not require the shooter to completely release the trigger to the front for the next. So that's what that double strike capability means. Now, I got another minute or so, and I've got one or two left here. This gun is perfect for the budget-minded shooter. It is a slick-looking weapon, accurate to a fault, responds easily. And like you'd imagine, it eats anything you put in it. Get the Taurus and enjoy the firing at the range. And then finally, Ken here. Best pistol I've ever owned. Shoots smooth, especially with my huge hand. Happy with its accuracy around 30 yards. Thin enough for concealment. Just an all-around happy pistol. Very reasonable price to shoot. And enjoyed it very much. So once again, it's a semi-automatic 9mm pistol. Matte black finish. And it's available at ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. Give them a call at 254-983-4417. Tell them you heard it on the show here. Go in there, check it out, pick it up. It's also got an accessory rail on it, which is very nice. I highly recommend if you ever get a gun now, if you've got a gun, unless you're specifically wanting a certain one, if you're going to get a gun, assuredly for home defense, you need a flashlight. You need to get one of these flashlights that go on the front end of the accessory rail, because the last thing you want is a gun in one hand and a phone in the other. You need that extra hand to block yourself, defend yourself, turn doorknobs, whatever, and actually put your second hand on the gun if necessary. So get a firearm that has an accessory rail on it and get yourself a very good flashlight. Now, I want to make one more comment. People who put lasers on it, if you're going to put a laser on your gun, you better know how to use a laser. I had a conversation like this at the shop. I was very adamant that 99% of the people who shoot guns with lasers don't know how to do it. And we had some people go out there and I was right. Okay. So if you're going to shoot with a laser, you better know what you're doing. Come see me for details and I'll teach you how to do it. Trey, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to have nobody as a special guest. Yay. I've got a bunch of articles here I want to go through, talk about. Trey, maybe you and I can chit chat on those. And when we get back, we'll do that. See you on the other side.
Arch
Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Capolino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capolino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capolino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MISO-FIRM.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop it at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, June 16th, 2018. We got about 25 minutes left in the program, and I wanted to touch on some topics of interest that I didn't get to because we had a great long segment with Super Attorney Rick Dodd, so let me do that now. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm obligated to some degree to say this, so I guess I will. As Sunday is Father's Day, okay, I personally could care less, but for all of you who do, Happy Father's Day. I guess people ask me why I act this way about Father's Day, and my answer is the same reason it is for Mother's Day. It's a commercial sham. Every day should be Mother's Day, and every day should be Father's Day, but that's me. So do what you want, and whatever it is, I hope you enjoy it. Father's Day is this Sunday. June 30th, Saturday, license to carry class. $60 for the new course. If you're a newbie, I've also, in the same time, can give refreshers for $40. I highly recommend it, ladies and gentlemen, for the purposes of clarity. Like we were talking with Rick Dodd here about the penal codes. A lot of people aren't sure of it. We had Squirrel call up concerning a situation that happened. So if you've got your license to carry, a refresher course for $40 is well worth the money. Give me a call. Give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and give me an email there if you'd like to sign up for it, or give me a call at the shop. July 4th, now that's a day to celebrate. Too bad it's on a Wednesday. What do you do, Trey, what do you do when the holiday's on a Wednesday, do you celebrate the weekend before or do you celebrate the weekend after? I had to pick a choice on the dates when it came to license to carry. I said, I'm going to go the 30th.
Why limit yourself? Celebrate on both weekends.
I guess. Take a rest in the middle? Take a rest in the middle by watching fireworks?
Yeah, I think most people will try to do it closest to the end of the month. Or the edge of the month. If the weekend is going to be close, if the weekend before is closer to the beginning of the month than the weekend after is to the end of the month, they might go for that. I don't know.
Don't know.
Yeah. It's a good question.
Okay. Now, July 13th is our next round robin. Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot reiterate enough how good this competition is. I designed this competition because I teach personal self-defense, mostly with handguns, okay? And because of it, there's always a chance or a situation that may arise that you may not be able to use your own handgun and you're under stress. Because shooting at a piece of paper in a relaxed, comfortable environment is not training you how to defend yourself in a heated moment when the adrenaline's pumping and your 10 fingers turn to 3 fingers. You've got to be able to handle yourself under stress. You can't think under stress when it comes to using your firearm. What you should be thinking about is tactics, not can I use my weapon? You should be thinking about the situation as every second ticks by, you're analyzing. You're analyzing every situation. We're doing pot every second of the day. Perception of threat, pot. So when a situation happens and you hear that crash of glass in your, in your basement window, all of a sudden you don't think about, is my gun loaded? You think about, okay, I'm listening for indicators, noise, vibrations, the whole works. I already know how the gun works. It's already ready to go. Fingers off the trigger until I'm ready to shoot. I got the flashlight on my gun. I'm turning corners the proper way. So the round robin is a fantastic way. When you come, you're going to pay $10 to shoot at my range all night. Why not spend $20 on every second Friday of the month? Shoot all night, participate in a gun competition, get some awesome training, get to shoot a whole bunch of different guns. And if you're lucky, you win a prize. It's a no-brainer. So that's July 13th. All right, so that's a few things. Now, we put that to the side here. And I've got some articles that I've been collecting. So some of them are a little bit dated, but they still hold true to what I'm trying to get across here. And I was talking to Trey as what we want to talk about first. So I'll do the most recent thing here. There was a man sentenced to life in prison. Or actually, he was on trial. This was this guy. What's his name here? Basham? I'm going to read to you real quick this article from the Telegram. It goes, there was a woman who was assaulted, okay? A man from Moody is on trial this week, and he was on trial, he's been convicted, of raping and robbing a woman at gunpoint. Evan Andrew Basham, 26, broke into a woman's home and assaulted her in the garage with a gun when she came home, and then the woman's friends say they went to their house on Canyon Creek Drive to make sure she was okay when they didn't hear from her. The garage door was open, so they went in that way and heard screams for help. The friends went into the house and called out for the woman. A man wearing a ski mask tried to run past them, but they caught and restrained him. The woman ran past him screaming and crying, and she had duct tape on her. The woman told police officers a man with a black mask and gun hit her in the head with a gun, dragged her into the house. He tied her up and took $160 from her wallet before assaulting her. Investigators found duct tape, zip ties, a glove, a mask, and a backpack with a gun in it in the woman's home. Basham had $196 on him when he was arrested. Then the follow-up article was the man was sentenced. The jury sentenced Basham, 26, to life in prison and fined him $10,000. Okay. The reason I want to read that story is, one, it's terrible. I feel for the girl. I believe she was 19. But here is the backstory that you probably don't know. Basham was at work, and he was scoping out his victims and was able to get the victim's keys and made a copy of the key. Actually, he ended up making copies of two different people's keys. And then he decided to do the dirty deed to this poor young girl and went there with all the accessories that I told you about.
Yeah, I want to point out that this was not a spur-of-the-moment plan. He didn't just throw the bag together. This was planned out. That list...
That's right.
For what he had in that bag, man. That's as well planned out as any bug out bag.
That's right.
This joker was not. This is, yeah, he had planned this, and that's.
Oh. Now, this guy is shaking your hand at work, saying, hey, how's it going? Blah, blah, blah. So what I'm trying to get at is this. You know, Trey, we always talk about on the show about pot, perception of threat, keep staying aware of your surroundings and all this kind of stuff. You're in the parking lot. Who's around in the parking lot? Not keeping yourself in a situation that's precarious that you can be taken advantage of. Locking your windows and doors at night. All these different things. But now you're in a so-called friendly environment with peers, the people you work with, and an individual is scoping you out and then taking your keys. So, ladies and gentlemen, ladies primarily, keep track of your ID, keep track of your keys. So it's every second of the day you got to stay vigilant, okay? And when you close your eyes and go to bed at night, you got to have some type of thing or device or whatever to be your eyes and being vigilant while you're asleep, too. It's very important. It's a crazy world we live in. So this piece of scum got less than what he deserves. And just be on the lookout for other creeps like this, okay?
And, you know, folks... The military does it. The scouts do it. All the police do it. The buddy system. Your one of your strongest defenses, one of your best protections, can be having someone right there watching your back.
That's right. Sometimes that doesn't happen though. So what do you say to those people? Just you got to be vigilant. You got to be vigilant.
Got
to have eyes in the back of your head, which means you just as soon as you're walking out of a location or whatever, you're scanning and scoping. But this was sick, man. This was evil. This was thought out, like you
this
said.
This is premeditated. Premeditated is the word we want to use, I guess. Yeah, and premeditated evil, terrible.
All right, so just stay vigilant on that. All right, let's lighten it up a little bit here. I saw this article. And I started laughing. Miss America drops swimsuit portion and won't judge on looks. Hello?
I mean, it's a beauty pageant. Beauty not pageant. A personality pageant. Not an intelligence pageant.
I made a note on the article. I said, there go the ratings. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, you can do all the political correctness crap that you want. But here's the bottom line. The majority of the people who are watching Miss America is probably guys. And they want to see the swimsuit cost. I don't want to go there, Trey.
I don't necessarily say. I personally find no interest in it. It's boring, you know. But my sisters, when we were growing up, they liked. I wouldn't say they liked to watch it now, but at least when they were, you know, in elementary and junior high, they liked watching that sort of thing. As far as I knew, and I always associated it with girls watching it.
Let's liken it to this. Miss America is. I don't know. You're probably not going to like this, and I don't really care, ladies and gentlemen. It's perfection. You've got mind, attitude, spirit, physical fitness. You're a machine, a person who's running on all eight cylinders in every aspect of your life. That's what we're looking for. It's like in the military or being a cop or a firefighter. There are certain standards that need to be set to accomplish the mission. Now we're going to do, because you've got the women running the show now and they feel, well, this is kind of silly. No, it's not silly. Yeah, guys like to look at women in bikinis. Sure they do. But it's also, is the woman disciplined to keep herself?
You know, I tell you what, I'll consider this whole thing, this experiment of theirs legitimate when they start having the unibrow on there with the facial hair who has the most amazing personality and she makes Mother Teresa look like a criminal. Okay? When they have that woman on there and she wins... I'll believe that they're being serious and not just...
Okay. But I'm telling you, the ratings are
paying lip service.
Anyway, I thought that was interesting. Now, here's another kind of interesting story. Headline reads, Dallas woman says she killed husband because he beat the cat. That's interesting. Let me read on here. Dallas police said a 47-year-old woman has told detectives she shot and killed her husband because he had been beating the family cat. Authority says Mary Harrison has been arrested and jailed on murder charge of the slaying of her 49-year-old husband. Mary told authority that the shooting Saturday occurred during an argument. Dexter was taken to a hospital where he died. In the statement, Dallas police said Harrison told officers that her husband had been beating the cat. Neighbors said the family cat recently went missing. Mary posted signs about the disappearance of the cat, and then the pet eventually returned. So what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, is this... It doesn't say, is this one of those things that happened at night? She was trying to protect the pet, and she wanted to shoot him and shot him too high, or was, you know, trying to wound him. You know,
I'm picturing, you know, I'm picturing the husband kicking the cat out of the way. Mama gets upset and caps him. That's what I'm saying.
Well, see, and that's what I'm saying. It doesn't say, was that what happened, or was he like had a sock full of nickels and was pounding on this cat with it, and the cat's all now, broken and.
You make a comment, it doesn't say, which brings me to the next one. And I go, tell me more, because it briefly talks about what happens here, but doesn't give you the details. Let me read this article. It says, officer wounds self during pursuit near San Diego Marathon. A San Diego police officer accidentally shot himself in the leg Sunday while pursuing a hit-and-run suspect who pointed a weapon at officers and was eventually arrested on the roof of the parking structure near the finish line of the annual marathon. That's all they say about that.
All right, Matt, you are the pistol expert.
Uh-huh.
When you hear someone has accidentally shot themselves in the leg and they were in pursuit of someone, what is the first thing that comes to your mind?
They had their finger on the trigger. Now, I must say this. Stuff happens.
Right.
Under stress like that, things that you train for, things that you prepare for, you do the best of your ability. And sometimes this variable pops in. I had right. that variable happen to me just recently. Everything is perfect.
And how is your sink, by the way?
We don't need it to go there, okay? But I'm telling you, everything was perfect, but a variable comes into the picture. So this officer, I just think it's funny because they don't talk about it, all right? They just say he got shot. So what probably happened here is the officer's in pursuit. He could have tripped. Yep. He could have bumped something, but his... What?
I was going to say, it doesn't say, was it a full through and through? Was it a graze? You know, what if his firearm accidentally discharged while he was drawing it?
Now, there was an officer one time when he was sitting in his police car. The gun went off and shot him in the buttocks. Now, that's kind of like, what the hell happened there? But this one here, I just thought it was interesting that they didn't talk about it more. All right, we'll put that to the side. I want to read this article. I think I got enough time to do it. It's called Culture, Not Guns, is at the Root of Our Mass Shootings Increase. And I got this from the Federalist. I read a bit of it last week with State Representative Hugh Shine. I was picking a couple of quotes out of it. But I wanted to read it. It's about, it's three quick pages. So I'm going to read it, 2.5 pages, because I kind of agree with it. See what you think. Take away all the guns and we simply see death by other means until we address the real issue. Our culture has become toxic. Before the 1960s, there was almost no mass shooting incidents in the United States, but the trend has increased ever since then. Why? The number of homicides have decreased, and the number of households that have guns have also dropped significantly. There must be another cause. Maybe the continual focus on the tool used by these killers is less important than the emotional imbalance that leads them to pull the trigger. A major change since the 1960s has been the rise of liberal social policies and the destruction of time-honored values that lead to social success and stability. The most glaring example is the massive decline in two-parent households. From 1960 to 2014, the percentage of children living in a home with two parents and no divorces dropped from 73% to 46%. That number is stunningly lower for black children, now at 22%. People want to say that you're being racist. This is statistics and numbers. You can't argue the numbers. We're just showing the facts.
I think it has less to do with the color of the person. I think it would have been more accurate if they'd have stated low socioeconomic, because it's not just the black or the Mexican.
Well, they
or
break
the white.
These. They break these statistics up in white, black, all this kind of stuff. So it just happens to be that this number's
lower. I think they're misrepresenting it. I'm not going to say that their facts are wrong. I think that they're misrepresenting it.
All right.
We'll put a spin on it.
Okay, we'll keep going. Nearly every school shooting has involved a boy who grew up without his father. That's interesting. Nearly every school shooting has involved a boy who has grown up without his father. The number of gun homicides has increased slightly in the past few years, but that is mostly driven by gang violence in major cities. They don't talk about that either. Not the type of mass shootings that capture so much current media attention. But let's talk about the causes for both the school and gang shootings, because the vast majority of killers in each are between 17 and 29 years of old and male. The destruction of the social structure that provided stable homes is obviously a factor in the pathologies we see in young men today. There are other elements of liberal social transformation that contribute to these phenomena as well. The very concept of manhood is now denigrated and commonly referred to as toxic masculinity. Losing a positive view of their basic drives removes another check of the biologically driven destructive nature of young men. Of course, some of the behaviors around poor treatment of women and other unacceptable actions rightly had to go. But they've thrown out the baby boy with the bathwater. True manhood is rooted in the chivalric, thank you, codes that channeled the natural instinct of males into productive roles as protectors of the weak rather than the violent predators, and charged the bulk of men to serve as sheepdogs to protect against the few who prey on the weak. The teaching for the past several generations is that any traits of natural aggressiveness by boys must be ruthlessly put down and medicated away when necessary. This fails to provide a positive outlet for unavoidable boyishness as it grows with him into young childhood. In young adulthood. He is taught his true nature is a bad thing to be ashamed of. With the lack of good male role models, he never learns the proper way to channel his burgeoning energy. Society forces him to feel guilty for simply being what God made him, a man. We need to return to respecting these qualities and teaching responsibility so masculine traits will be used appropriately. Responsibilities for one's actions is another value removed from the equation. Social justice and political correctness teach that no one is responsible for their own situation or bad choices. It is the system or even the man who has done them wrong. This is a double whammy for young boys who learn it's not their fault when they do destructive things. But yet it's their fault as boys because boyhood is bad. And then on top of it, they're informed they're also responsible for what happens to everyone else, too. It's absurd and destructive, and it's no wonder we have an entire generation of entitled malcontents who believe they share no accountability for their own failures. If they don't get what they feel they deserve, they think society must have let them down. Unsurprisingly, we have had many fewer problems when the exact opposite was taught and expected. Let's not forget the other two major factors in this violence incubator, the media... and paid millions of dollars to take on gun-toting, bullet-flying, people-slaying roles. Hypocritical much? Mainstream media contributes to the problem when they sensationalize the loser who slaughters his class by giving him the fame and recognition he seeks. The massive qualities of empowering and unaccountable violence our popular culture spews out in video games and movies teach that power comes from the barrel of a gun. That is the opposite of true manhood, where responsibility is what comes from having a physical power over others. The liberals who want to lecture about how guns are the problem are avoiding the good look in the mirror they have earned. Their wholesale transformation of society away from personal responsibility to elevation and personal gratification has not gone well. It is not the only problem, but it is one that needs to be considered, and we must aim to stop the desire and belief by too many boys from fatherless homes that mass killing is a solution. Take away all the guns and we will simply see death by other means until we address the real issue. Our culture has become toxic. Let's work on that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, with that, we're going to take a quick 1-minute break. And when we come back, we're going to have the awesome Master Cindy Key doing something physically abusive to me for your benefit. See you on the other side.
But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron's Heat Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop it at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775.
Well,
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. I've got Master Cindy Key, owner of Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Miss Key, it's always a pleasure to have you on here. Say hi to everybody.
Hello.
Tell them what you're going to do to me.
Well, I'm going to try to talk through two different wrist locks on him if somebody's grabbing or if they punch you.
I want to make a comment. When I was under Master Key's training here, she would do these to me, and I hated them because I couldn't do them as good as she could, and it hurts. So tell us what you're going to do.
Okay, if somebody's grabbing or even if they punch, I'm right-handed, and he's using his right hand, so I'm going to offline to get away from his other arm first. That's the first thing. But I'm wrist-to-wrist with him at this point. Then I'm going to turn my hand over. My long fingers are on top of his hand, and then here's the circular motion that is so important in flowing with any kind of joint manipulation.
If you use the clock, she's sweeping me down to the 6 o'clock position,
yes,
and bringing me back up.
From 12 to 6. Then I'm going to take both my hands. I have small hands. So I'm going to take both my thumbs and line it up with the middle of his finger. And I'm going to line his shoulder and his elbow and his wrist up in a straight line to make it more effective. And then all I have to do is just press a little bit. It doesn't take much.
Not much at all.
It doesn't take much at all. If he starts to pull away, let's say he starts to pull away, then I messed up. Then all I'm going to do is I'm going to come towards him elbow to elbow, and then I'm just going to drop my weight.
Wow.
I'm going to drop my weight.
That's a double whammy. Double whammy. And you had something on the other side too?
On the other side.
I'm going to grab her, I guess.
Yes, he's going to grab it. I mean, it could be a punch. I'd be blocking to the inside. But now I'm going to come with my long fingers. They're going to be under his palm. The other one was on top.
Top, right.
Take my other hand, same thing, lining these fingers up, my thumbs to his middle finger. I'm going to bend his arm. I don't want to bend it too much because then I'm close. He can get me. I'm right here, and I'm going to make an S with his arm. And I can't do this very much because...
Yeah, it's torquing me out.
It's torquing, and it just starts tearing stuff up. If you do it really fast, it's really, really, really ugly.
I got a question. Go ahead, Trey.
Go
with me. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Master Key is very good at what she does, and she has incredible prices and a great facility. You need to check her out and do it. Ms. Key, why don't you tell them what you got going, how they get a hold of you?
Well, I have summer classes. It's 2 months. That's 2 months of summer class for $99. Come try a couple classes. I only want people that really want to be there. I'm considering an adult class for the fall. So if there are any adults out there that would like for me to start an adult class, I need at least 4 in the class to open it up. And right now I have 1 adult. So 3 more, and I would open an adult-only class.
Look, step up to the plate, really. You're going to love it when you start doing it. I know everybody's apprehensive at first because, oh, can I do it? Or I'm going to look stupid. No. Get that out of your head. It's a great opportunity for you to learn how to defend yourself. So until next week, ladies and gentlemen, Ms. Key, did you give your number?
254-721-2775.
Until next week, keep your powder dry. God bless.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Quicken Loans.
I'm Bill Rakoff. Former Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort is in a Virginia federal prison today. It's his new home until his trial on fraud and money laundering begins. Manafort ordered behind bars Friday after allegations he tampered with witnesses. CBS's Weijia Jiang reports.
The charges that Manafort faced.